Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on. It's a real pleasure for me to connect with an outstanding public speaker, but ever more the strong focus and business leader, and that is Jack Mitchell. Jack, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Zara. I'm thrilled to be here. Absolutely thrilled.
Let me give a brief introduction. Jack is chairman and CEO of Mitchell's Richards Marsh and Wilkes Bashford, which is a three-generation family business that operates men's and women's specialty stores in Connecticut, New York, and now California, and they're nationally renowned for their personal service, touches, and strong relationships. Under Jack's leadership and that of his extended family, they have become very well known for employee engagement and longevity and providing exceptional customer service, as well as high-quality merchandise in a very exciting, friendly, and visually dynamic atmosphere. Jack continues as an active leader on the floor, listening and learning alongside his brother Bill, wife Linda, his four sons, and their three nephews. This topic actually of our show today, though, with me, Jack actually launched a second career as a speaker and an author in 2003. His first book, Hug Your Customers, The Proven Way to Personalize Sales and Achieve Outstanding Results, was a Wall Street Journal bestseller and received rave reviews in the New York Times. In 2008, Jack published his second book, Hug Your People, The Proven Way to Hire, Inspire, and Recognize Your Employees to Achieve Remarkable Results, which he absolutely illustrates a business blueprint to personalize relationships to drive success and even greater satisfaction at work. So, Jack, I know we can go any number away, but first off, I really commend you for deciding at that phase of your career to step out and do something even bigger than run your businesses.
Well, I don't know if it's bigger, but it certainly has given me a whole second career and an opportunity, again, to listen and learn from other organizations, other companies, and I'm always integrating new ideas into our family business.
That's great. Well, what prompted you to write your book, by the way, your first book?
As you may remember, I actually tell the story in Hug Your Customers. I had always wanted to really write a book. I'd always wanted to do some public speaking. My whole vision is never to retire as long as I'm healthy. And I knew that our family business was changing. Our four are ours and three are my brothers are in the third generation. So I knew that my role would be changing. And I happened to give a speech, this is back now in 2001, as a not a keynote speaker, but a panelist to the CEO Summit in our industry. And I talked for 7 minutes about how we're totally company-wide, customer-focused. That is just not my brother and myself and our family, but our tailors, our seamstresses, our buyers, shippers, and receivers, everybody is sort of the golden rule. We're on the floor. We're really focusing on customers. We know their names and their nicknames and birthdays and all that stuff. I did it for 7 minutes, and then I sat down, and one of the leaders in our industry, who was the president of Burdolph Goodman at the time, put his finger in my face and he said, you're really saying that you and your associates actually hug your customers?
I love it.
And of course, I thought of my brother Bill, who's a Hall of Fame hugger, and a fellow named Frank Galagi, who's at Richards, is hugging Matt Lauer and Al Roker, and Joe Durst out here hugs Willie Brown. And I mean, it's just all of a sudden I said, well, doesn't everybody hug their customers?
Well put.
And then I realized, of course, that not everybody does. And then all of a sudden came back, and I bumped into Jack Romanos, who at the time was the CEO of Simon & Schuster, was a customer and friend. And he said, well, come on in. And I came in, and he liked the idea, and I found a collaborator, and I wrote the book, and did some speaking, and all of a sudden, that's what happened, and I love it.
You just love it. Well, I think, again, that term, hug your customer, Jack, of course, if you want to share some of the precepts, this is not just literally, but also figuratively hugging your customer,
well,
right?
It is a metaphor, of course. I mean, of course, we do bear hug, but of course, it's a metaphor for any tiny act or deed or large ones that say, wow, these folks at Mitchell's or Wilkes Bashford or Richards, they actually care about me as a real person. They're genuine, they're transparent, they're open, they really care about me. And you know what? It feels so good. I think I'm going to come back and buy some more things here when I need some clothing. I mean, we're more about We're all about the peoples, are, as you know, our great people that we that work with us, and they in turn they hug the customers. So if we hug the people, if we hug the associates, the employees, and they in turn hug the customers. So it's that warmth of a family, extended family, that my mom and dad started 52 years ago, you know, with just three suits and a dream and a coffee pot.
But tell us about that coffee pot. Now, I know today it isn't just, you know, any particular upscale form of coffee. I think one of your ways you touch your customers is you even plan in advance of someone coming to have their favorite beverage available.
Oh, sure. You know, I was a kid that Indra Nooyi, who's the CEO of Pepsi, you know, I wouldn't offer her a Coke. At one time we had the CEO of Coke, and I wouldn't offer him a Pepsi. So you have to plan ahead in everything you do on a personalized basis. That's what our business is all about, knowing everything we can about the customer and turning them into friends. So, again, if they like to play golf, we should obviously show them some new golf clothes. If they're a tennis player, they could be tennis whites. Or if they work, you know, in a upper-end Wall Street firm, they probably still will be wearing suits. But maybe on Fridays they'll be in casual wear. So you have to know everything you can about them on a personal basis, a family basis, and a business basis. When you really think that way, then you can service them in a personal way, in a positive, personal, and passionate way. And that's what our businesses are all about. And then of course, and we talked about this, you know, when we first met, that then it's technology too. We need to be a modern company. It's just not high touch. The hugging, we have to have technology that is supportive, like the backbone of a person. The technology really glues it together. You have to have the data in order to service your customers and to hug your customers.
But, you know, I still think it comes back. It's one thing to keep on file people's birthdays and anniversaries and, you know, trigger the sending of a card or the right special flower to the person. But, you know, the addition of it being with a handwritten note shows the genuine nature of it, right? This is not a fabricated, manipulative intention that you wouldn't think twice, or you know it is your role to extend that touch.
Exactly. The handwritten, you know, we send out literally thousands and thousands of handwritten notes. Now, some of them are generated by the computer, mm-hmm. and it picks up, you know, you might buy an Armani this or a Zegna that or a pair of Gucci shoes, but then the computer can put that all in, but then somebody has to sign the letter. I always sign all my letters, and most of our team do also, with a real ink fountain pen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it just shows the fact that you do care enough to write, you know, to put a little note, hope to see you soon. Zara, how's the show going? Once you do it over and over again, it's like practicing anything you do. It sort of becomes part of your DNA, and you become someone that really does care about each and every customer, and you dig in to find out what's special for them. I mean, some people, like I always say about flowers, I mean, sending flowers to the right person, but somebody might not. Or better example, I was a kid, and my brother's very open about it. My brother's a recovering alcoholic, and he's proud of that. He should be. You know, I wouldn't send him a bottle of wine.
Right.
It would not be a hug. And I still like a nice wine or two. And so somebody says, so you have to know the differences between people. That's what differentiates us. That's a hug, to know those types of things about our customers and our clients.
Beautifully said. Now, Jack, is this something you teach your staff, or do they come with it already, you know, inside their own DNA?
You know, most of the people that we try to hire, it's either in their DNA or they have been part of this and they've been longing for a place that
yes.
they really can even do it more, that they're encouraged to go the extra mile and be really, really nice to people. As you know from my Hug Your People book, there I talk about how many interviews we have. We probably, when we finish the show, I'm interviewing several people out here in California. And I really try to probe and find out, you know, do they really care about people? Are they nice to people? Are they mm-hmm. nice people? Are they honest? I mean, honesty and integrity is the most important thing. And do they take pride in what they do? I mean, there are certain things that are simple, but I want the people that would join our team to have these basic, fundamental hugging culture values, which I think most people want to have, But if they don't have it, it's those kinds of things are harder to educate. Those they may be a big seller, but do they really genuinely sell, or is it just off of off a number?
Yeah.
So we can educate people about clothing, and educate them about the features and the benefits of cashmere or cotton. But it's very hard sometimes to really educate someone to be really genuinely kind and nice.
Isn't that really true? You know, Jack, you've had the opportunity to speak, you know, some 200 engagements, probably plus then, and be featured on national TV and the like. Why do you think this has become such a very hot topic, other than your, you know, your flaming motivational capability and the like, but like there's this hunger for the subject?
Well, I think a lot had to do recently with the obviously tsunami, that economic tsunami that hit everyone. Mm-hmm. I think people are searching for ways that they can reconnect with their customers and their clients and their vendors and their, you know, I think they're searching for new ways, new paradigms to, and it comes right back for us. And when I do speak or when I share our culture with other people, you know, maybe they're certainly not going to take everything that I have to say to heart or to their business, but one or two simple ideas could make a real difference in how their business is run.
You know, I think another piece of it might be, I mean, you used the word high touch earlier, which, of course, is something I always espoused and thrived in implementing in the engineering manufacturing even world, as I was in, which was really counterculture at the time. But perhaps people have maybe gotten complacent and almost accepting of mediocre service. I mean, I laugh, but I understand there's a website now called Get a Human. So that when you call that 800 number and you're trying to figure out how to report a stolen credit card, you don't have to go through five layers of voicemail that you can jump circuit it.
Sure.
And you're saying to yourself, something's really wrong here. If we've just come to accept the fact that the connectivity with people is so distant and remote.
Sure. And then when you find someone that is real, you know, we obviously, as you know, in our stores, all five of them, we have real operators that answer or people
exactly.
that answer the phone. And even, as I think you know from reading Hug Your Customers, if you call when we're closed and you have a clothing emergency, anyone that's listening to this can try this to our store in Westport or any place, but the number in Westport is 203-227-5165. Try it when we're closed. And it says, if you have a clothing emergency, you can press 2, and it goes directly to my brother's home. And if he's not there, it rolls over to another Mitchell's home so that we're really like the old doctors, which we all
sure.
sort of long to hear, that we're on call 24 hours. Now, in reality, very rarely do we get a call that isn't like, I forgot to pick my wife's dress up and it's the junior prom or my daughter or something.
Right.
So you do get those kinds of things. And when you do, of course, we immediately get in the car or wherever, go down to the store, do whatever we need to do to service the customer. So it's that feeling that we're always close to the customer. I call it hugging. So those kinds of things, you know, you don't have to go through 18 Chinese menus, as you suggest, on the phone.
Well, you know, you caught my attention, this word clothing emergency.
Yeah.
You know, Jack, share one of those fun stories. You know, the person that's leaving on a business trip and they suddenly realize they're missing something, or the big event. And what would that look like from the time somebody picks up the phone to then action?
Well, you know, as you know, my books, Hug Your Customer and Hug Your People,
yes.
are all stories. And then a few bullet points for business points. One that I didn't tell in the book happened a little while ago. My nephew, Scott Mitchell, got a call from the groom of the wedding party. We had outfitted the groom and his ushers with tuxedos and the bridesmaids with bridesmaid dresses and so forth. All of a sudden, no one, this was like a half hour before the wedding, no one knew how to tie a boat. You know,
my goodness.
And so what did he do? Scott got in his car, and, you know, he drove right to the site, and he tied everybody's tie.
Well, yep.
So a simple thing like that, you know, saved the wedding, you know, and or happens, as you say, a lot of people come in from various parts of the world. San Francisco, we've had this happen. You know, we've only owned this business now 120 days, but it's happened several times while I've been here. They'll come in on a business trip, and they forget a shirt, they call us and they need their suit pressed. Well, the dry cleaners are, well, we have pressers here, and so we can do a simple caring acts. And they say, wow, these people are nice. And I give them, you know, a card, and we send them a little note, and all of a sudden the word gets out that this great store here at Wilkes-Bashford has come back. You know, they had some economic challenges, and now we have people here that really are continuing to care about each and every customer, each and every act.
Yeah, well, Jack, in fact, since I'm catching you here in San Francisco as opposed to your stores in New England, indeed, this is an amazing story, a company that was declaring bankruptcy that you all joined in. The decision to invest across the country, you know, remote from the family, the ordinary part of the world you're part of, how is that model then being transposed at this point in time?
Well, we're very confident that it's working. Obviously, it's an evolution, not a revolution, and it's a marathon and not a sprint. We keep saying those words. Customers are coming back. We have a whole win back customer program. We were able to, through technology, and through the help of all the sellers, most of whom stayed with Wilkes through these tough economic times, and we're beginning. You know, we're calling the customers. We're sending notes and letters out to them. We're surveying the customers. We love surveys because it gives these customers the opportunity of telling us how they really feel about the business.
And are you finding, indeed, that you've unleashed a potential in these employees from the prior firm that they actually latently had these skills already?
Oh, yes. They definitely had the skills. They had the relationships. I mean, Wilkes-Bashford had, and they still do, great sellers who had personal relationships, but then they didn't have, then all of a sudden, they didn't have any product for over a year, new product, because they couldn't pay their bills. So they didn't have the new, fresh product. And then what's happening, I mean, they always had very good customer service, Zara, but they didn't have quite the personalized customer service that we had. Their real differentiation of their competitive edge was their unique product that they had within the upper end range. We've added, and we like to think eventually will be, the hugging culture will be the most important, the personal relationships,
yes.
And then we'll find the product that the customers like. So we're slowly changing that, but we don't want to lose at all the customer base that loves special, unique product, because we also pride ourselves in having great product, whether it be Keaton or Oscar de la Renta or, you know, Manolo Blahnik shoes. So
sure.
We have special product, but we need to find the special product for each and every customer.
So this mass customization approach that you're taking. Well, you said earlier about finding the right product. My assumption would be that if you've got such a tight connection with your customers, of course, one of the rages out there is always to go out and focus on the voice of the customer. Well, your voice of your customer is coming back at you constantly, isn't it?
Constantly. And again, one of the things that one of the systems that they didn't have here at Wilkes was the connection between the buyers and the sellers. The buyers really, they did, for years they did a great job, but they really didn't connect with the sellers here the way we do in Connecticut and Long Island. They you know, when my wife Linda, who's still one of the major buyers of our women's wear, when she now goes to Paris or Milan or New York to buy, she'll send the pictures of every single product that she's considering buying out here overnight. And then the women here can get input as to what they like and what they don't like. And then they literally are asked to write some customers' names down that they think might like this new dress or this new pair of shoes. So that we're trying to involve them, like we do in Connecticut, with the buy, so that they feel that they're part of the buy, thinking about the customers that they have.
Sure, immediately the feedback. Well, you know, you stop and think about this. So your reference earlier about technology and, you know, the generations of Mitchells that started the business over 50 years ago, how much the ability to get rapid feedback has been so important to you then?
It's very, very important. It's important from the associates and or the customer right to the buyers. And you know, also another part of our hugging culture are our vendors and our designers.
Yes.
I mean, and even our bankers. I mean, the whole idea of building personal relationships. I think I showed you when I was with you that we had a 50th anniversary book that we did. And I mean, to have the Xenia family saying nice things about us, Ralph Lauren saying nice things, Giorgio Armani went a picture with my son Bob,
mm-hmm.
We know these folks. We know Sergio and Laura Piana. I've eaten dinner in their homes in Italy, and so has my son and my wife. And so we try our best to build these relationships with the vendors. And when we really say we're partners in business, we really mean it.
And I'm certain that they would say the same thing, because just as you were commenting that your wife fed this data back from her being in Paris to your sellers on the floor, I suspect that all those pronounced fashion moguls feel the same way, that your organization is a direct pipeline into getting future trends and feedback.
Absolutely. My son Bob, who is really the merchant of our family business, he was asked many times to go to Europe early in order to edit down the collection, mm-hmm. Along with some people from Neiman Marcus and from Harry Rosen's in Canada. There are three or four people that they respect, because, again, my son Bob, he's on the selling floor. I'm here now, but I was on last Saturday because of the holiday. I was home in Connecticut. I worked at Richards on Saturday. And, Bob has about 25 clients of his own that he helps. So there's nothing like selling someone to listen to what they really like and don't like, whether it be a flat front pants or pleated pants or this fabric or that fabric. When you see it on and you have to deal with real customers, there are very few buyers of clothing in our industry that are on the floor that know the customers. Now, they have technology. They can look at all the sell-throughs and the SKUs,
sure,
and all that. But in order to really have that hands-on, we have both, which is an enormous positive factor in our business.
Well, I'd have to chuckle. One of the television shows that's all the rage is this book called Undercover CEO.
Yes.
And I have to chuckle, because I suspect that when Jack Mitchell walks into any of the stores, there's nothing undercover about you. In fact, your headshot photo features still that elegant tape measure around your shoulder, which is your calling card to that understanding that you have of your customers.
Well, thank you for that. I do. I always kid. I wear that a lot. I will always have a tape with me, and it's sort of, as you say, it's my signature, our signature, that no matter how big, we really, it's one customer at a time, and it's something that sort of personalizes, our business.
Well, thank you very much, Jack, for joining us, and congratulations on your multitude of careers, both your book, Hug Your Customer, as well as Hug Your People, which I suspect is a direct manifestation that people can't help but work in your environment and then take that both into their family environment and other relationships.
Well, thank you. And as you know, and all your listeners, when you're in Connecticut or San Francisco or Palo Alto, we'd love to see you come in to Coffee Pots always on.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Jack Mitchell. And we'll be back here shortly on Circles of Change with another guest. Have a great afternoon, Jack.
Thank you.
You bet.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.